I think the Lord wants us to have an abundant life, fun in every area. I think church even should be fun, don't you? Amen. It's not, something's wrong. I believe if he was here, he would make it fun. If he were here, I think he would. Well, we're in our series on the dream. We've shown you that God has put a dream into every heart, and he wants you to live that dream. He wants you to fulfill his will, and the only way you'll fulfill his will for your life is by living your dream that he's put into your heart. He wants you to have an abundant life, and the only way that you'll have an abundant life is by living the dream that he's put into your heart. And today's title is Preparing for the Dream. Preparing for the dream. I believe there are things that we've all got to do if we're ever going to experience the dream. We've got to prepare so that when we have the opportunity to step into it and to live it, that we can. So we're going to be talking about that today. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, and you want to follow me along a little bit, of course, we always look at many more scriptures than you could probably follow me with, but if you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17, and then Nehemiah, chapter 2, and verse 4, that'll kind of give you a start to where we're going. And let's pray. Father, I thank you. Oh, you're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Father, thank you for calling each one of us into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that you have caught us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your plans for every life, for every person, is to bless them, is to do good things for them, to cause them to prosper, have a good life, with hope and a future. Father, I pray now that as we sow the seed of the Word of God, Father, it falls upon good soil and it'll bring forth 160 and 30-fold. Father, I pray for myself, Father, that I'll be able to share it with clarity. And Lord, and stir us all up. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You agree with that prayer? Say amen. 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 Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." How many people? All people. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." So visions and dreams are what he's going to pour out into his Spirit upon every person. And then at verse 18 says, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." They will prophesy. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life. What God has done for every single person, man, woman, boy, girl, young or old, matters not. What God has done for every single person is pour out His Spirit. And in that Spirit, there is a dream. There is a vision. And if you're a young person and you hook into that vision early in life, it will become a vision for your life. If you hook into it and walk in it and live in it, then you will live your whole life in an abundant way. It will take you and lead you to God's abundance that He has for your life. If you're an older person, you can look back to see if you are living your dream. And wherever that you are in your stage of life, you can look forward to see if the vision that you are setting forth at that moment in that time is where you're really going and what God has for your life. And if you're living that dream, then you really are. And that's what He has for your life. He has an abundant life for every single person. Jesus came to give us that life and that more abundantly. He wants you to live an abundant life, not a mediocre life, not a ho-hum life, but a life and that more abundantly. That's His plan for your life. He also has a will of God for you. He has a good and acceptable and a perfect will that He wants you to walk in every day of your life. And if you do, then life becomes abundant in every form, in every fashion, and in every way. Now, if we think, though, that miracle dust is going to fall out of heaven on us, you know, like God up there shaking salt or something like that, you know, and it just comes going to flow down on us and all of a sudden our dreams are going to happen or somebody's going to come and wave a magic wand or whatever, you know, if you think that's how it's going to happen, then we're all wrong. That's not how God operates. You see, there are some preparation that each one of us must do if we're really going to experience the dream that God has for our life. There is a door that will open for you. Every single person will have a door of opportunity in their life. And when it comes to the point in your life when that door opens, we have got to be prepared to walk into it. And if we're not prepared, it doesn't matter how many doors God opens for us, no matter how many times He opens doors for us to live an abundant life, if we're not prepared to walk into it, then it does no good for Him to even open the door. You see, a lot of people are offered better jobs, but they're not prepared to take the better job. Maybe they didn't get the education or the training or whatever. God's constantly opening doors for us, and what we've got to be able to do is walk into it. Now, the Lord told the church at Philippi, the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 8, He says this, "I know you well." You aren't strong, but you have tried to obey and have not denied my name. Have not denied my name. Therefore, I have opened a door to you that no man can shut. You see, they had been faithful. They had been serving the Lord. And no matter what come against them, they were faithful in their service to the Lord. And God opened a door for them. Every one of us are going to have a door open for us in our lifetime so that we can walk in. And it won't be only one door. If you walk in this door, it's going to lead you to your dream. And you go as far as you can in there. You keep preparing yourself and another door will open. And you go through that door if you're prepared. Another door will open. And God will continually open doors for you so that you can progress towards your dream. But God will open a door for you. Now, doors have opened already in your life. Were you ready? Were you prepared? I want to tell you that more doors are going to be opening for your life. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you preparing for the dream that God's put into your heart? If you're not preparing, it'll only be a dream. You'll never experience the reality of it. God wants us to prepare. It's not going to happen with miracle dust, and it's not going to happen with a magic wand. We've got to prepare ourselves. Benjamin Disraeli says this. He was a prime minister of Great Britain. He said, the secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes. Not if it comes, when it comes. So your opportunity will come. What are you doing to prepare yourself for the opportunity when it comes? The Bible tells us about an individual whose name was Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was an Israeli. Nehemiah was a servant. The people had been taken into captivity, into Babylonian captivity, and Nehemiah was a slave. He was a servant, and he served the king. He had a horrible job of wine tasting and tasting of a food before the king ate it. And what Nehemiah wanted to do, though, he had a dream that God stirred in his heart. He had some friends that went and visited some people in Jerusalem. And so he came, as his friends came back, he went out to them and he greeted them. And he says, how are things going in Jerusalem? And they told him how horrible things were. The gates had been burned and the walls had been knocked down and the people were in great distress. The robbers and all of these individuals were coming and plundering the people of God. And so something stirred inside of Nehemiah's heart that he wanted to rebuild that city. Here's what it says in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and verse 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. God stirred in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild this. God put a dream in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild this. But now remember that he's a slave. He's just a servant for the king. He's nothing other than an employee who probably, like most of us, lives from week to week or month to month. There's not a big savings account. And God puts in his heart this humongous chore, this great dream to rebuild a city. I mean, in today's economy, you're talking billions and billions of dollars. And so there was no way Nehemiah could do this. And he was just a wine taster. That was his primary job. In those days, the people would try to poison the king with wine or with food. And so they had a wine tester who would always sample it first. And if he lived, then the king felt like it would be okay for him to drink it or eat it as well. That's a horrible job, isn't it? Huh? Tell you a joke. There's a guy who worked in a brewery. And he fell into the beer vat. And he drowned. One of his fellow employees says he didn't have a chance. And a witness says, oh, that's not exactly the case. He said he got out twice to go to the bathroom. My point is that sometimes you can have a very good job like Nehemiah had. But if God's put a dream in your heart, you're still not happy. You see, Nehemiah's countenance fell. If you read the story there, his countenance fell. And I don't care how much money you make or how slick your job is. If God's put a dream in your heart, you're never happy until you begin pursuing that dream. That happened to me. I had a slick job. I made pretty good money. I had an easy job. All I had to do was go in and tell people what to do and sit back and read my Bible or read or study or whatever I wanted to do. But I wasn't a happy person. I had a dream that God had put into my heart, and I wanted to pursue it. And so I, like Nehemiah, began to pray. And that's what Nehemiah did. He began preparing himself for his dream. He began preparing himself for this thing that God had stirred his heart to do. He wasn't happy. Even though he had the slickest job in the whole kingdom, you know, he wasn't a happy guy. And some of you are that way. Some of you are, you're just not happy. You're doing okay. You're making okay money, you know, and things are going all right in your life. But you're just not happy because you've got a dream in your heart. And it's time, and you're wanting to reach for it. You're wanting to reach out there and grab that star and grab that dream and grab life by the horns and experience all that God's got for you. And God's stirring your heart up. And so you need to prepare just like Nehemiah did. Now, this was a massive undertaking that Nehemiah was encouraged to do. Some of the dreams that you have are massive. There's no way in the world you're able to do it. It'd be impossible for you to fulfill the dream that God's put into your heart. It would have been impossible for this little wine taster to come up with all the materials and all the money to rebuild this entire city. Impossible for him to do. But see, we don't serve a God of the possible. We serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God who can take the impossible and make it possible. And the God, what I'm trying to tell you today is I don't care how big your dream is, and it better be bigger than you, because if it's you, then it's not a dream from God. But if it's a dream from God, then it's going to be impossible for you to pull it off, and you got to have God in it. And the God that we serve is the God who can take the impossible and make it possible. He says to us, Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, with men this is impossible. But with God, what? How many? Does that include your thing? Does all things include your thing? See, your thing is possible with God. He put it there. And I'm going to read you the scripture in just a little while, but that good thing that God began in you, be confident of this one thing. He's able to perform it. Amen. He'll pull it off for you as long as you're faithful, and as long as you're serving Him, and as long as you're praying, and as long as you're prepared. He's going to open door after door after door for you to walk through. The Lord wants us to expect the supernatural. I don't think we pull on God enough. I think we pull on our own abilities. I think we try to get as much done as we can in our natural self without really trusting the supernatural ability of God. Right. There was no way the nation of Israel could open a Red Sea. But God can. And you've got Red Seas and I've got Red Seas. There's no way we can open that. But God can open them. He has still got the recipe for the manna of heaven. I'm telling you, God can do anything. And with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You can pull it off with God. It's going to happen for you. Nehemiah began preparing. Now, there wasn't a whole lot he could do. This was a massive undertaking. What could this little wine tester do to pull off this big venture, this big dream that God had put into his heart? Well, Nehemiah began doing three things. First thing he did was pray. Second thing he did was make a list. The third thing he did was pray. Did you get those three? What was the first thing he did? Pray. What was the second thing? Made a list. What's the third thing? Pray. And you'll see this. This whole book of Nehemiah is saturated in prayer. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, I mourned and fasted and prayed. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 6 says, hear the prayer. Your servant is praying before you day and night. Nehemiah 1:11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants. Nehemiah 2:4, then I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah prayed. He prayed daily. He prayed day and night. In other words, what he did was keep his dream constantly before the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're not praying about your dream, you know, we've talked about the secret petitions that God's put into our hearts. God wants you to lift these secret petitions to Him day and night. Every day, constantly keep it before the Lord. Constantly keep your dream before the Lord. And if you will, then you're going to be preparing, and God's going to give you other things. He's going to start giving you a list. As you start praying to God, you start lifting it before the Lord. The Lord's going to drop a list in your heart of things that you need to do to prepare. And this is exactly what happened to Nehemiah. He began preparing. He got a list. The prayer led him to make a list. And then that way, when the door opened, when God opened the door for Nehemiah, just like He's going to open the door for you, Nehemiah was ready to step in and present his list to the king. Now, you know, there was no way in the world that Nehemiah was able to pull this dream off. But one day the king saw him. He saw that Nehemiah wasn't his happy, jovial self. And he says, Nehemiah, what's the matter with you, man? He says, you're not happy today. You're not laughing today. What's going on with you? And Nehemiah felt that that was a thing that God was doing in opening a door. And he says, I prayed. And then I relayed my vision to the Lord. And this is what the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. The king said to me, what is it you want? Isn't it great when somebody comes to you and says, write your own check. What is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it. And I love verse 8. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. See, Nehemiah was able to make his dream become reality because he was prepared when the door opened. When the door opened, Nehemiah was ready to walk into it and present to the king. Now, the Lord has his hand on you, does he not? How many of you believe the Lord has his hand on you? You got to start there. At least believe that he has his hand on you. And if the gracious hand of the Lord is upon you, then you're going to be able to do all things, because we serve the God of all things, right? Many of you have heard my story about how I was a little boy and I used to watch Oral Roberts, and I used to think how cool that would be to be able to teach people the word and pray for people and those kinds of things. And as I grew into adolescence and became a teenager, I became very active in the youth group that I was serving and at that time. And once a year or so, I got to preach in our church and from the pulpit. But then Judy and I got married, and I left my dream. I just kind of shelved it, or it became very dormant in my life. We got married and we both got away from the Lord, and I went on to college, and I was going to college when we got married. But anyway, I got a couple of degrees in business and in accounting and those kinds of things, and I prepared myself for another occupation. Well, I got a job with the largest corporation in our area, and I started at the bottom, and I felt like I was doing pretty well. I'd climbed up the ladder, you know, and I was doing all right. I was doing all right, and I was making a good paycheck, and things were going well. And around 1978, Judy and I, we got our life straightened out again. We got back to the Lord. And the Lord began to really use us and pull on us. And as soon as I got back praying and those kinds of things again, then that dream came back alive. That dream came back alive. And I wanted to do that again. I wanted to preach. I wanted to teach. I wanted to pray for people. I wanted to minister God's word. I wanted to be a pastor. And those kinds of things began stirring in me. But by this time, I had several obstacles. One of my main obstacles was the debt that I had. I had tremendous debt. I made pretty good money. And when you make pretty good money, you spend pretty good money. Most of us do, right? And so I had a lot of debt. I liked boats. I liked trucks and cars. And I liked houses. And I liked to buy stuff. And I did. and I owed for all of this stuff, you see. And there was no way that you were going to step out into the ministry and chase a dream when you were that far in debt. And plus, I had a family, and I had a son that was about ready to start college, and there was no money set back for that. And so there was no way in the natural that I would be able to fulfill my dream. I was like Nehemiah, you know. I was just a worker. There was no way that I could step out and do this thing that I felt God wanted me to do. And another thing is, I wasn't prepared. I had been prepared in business and accounting and those kinds of things, but I wasn't prepared to pastor a church. I wasn't prepared to teach the Word of God. So I began, though, praying, just like Nehemiah did. I began praying to the Lord, seeking the Lord. And He began giving me lists of things to do. He began telling me and instructing me as to what I needed to do. And one of the first things I started doing was taking courses. I started ordering Bible courses that I would take at home, and I began to work toward a theological degree. And then another thing I do is I had to get out of debt. That was probably the biggest obstacle. Well, you've heard the story before. We had a house. We had purchased a house, and we had some equity built up in the house. And so God gave us a plan. He says, if you'll sell this house and take the equity and build another house, then pay off all your bills and you can move into this house. And that's what I was feeling like the Lord had told me. Move into this new house, this brand new house, debt free. Well, that was the plan. And so I wrote that in a prayer, and I prayed it and kept it before the Lord all the time. And sure enough, we sold our house. We took the money, and the gracious hand of the Lord was upon us. And we were able to build a brand new house, a bigger house, a nicer house, plus pay off all of my debts, plus send my son to college and still remain debt free. Now that's a miracle from God right there. See, there's no way that was supposed to happen. There's no way, but the gracious hands of the Lord's upon you, and when He opens doors for you, and when you're really trying to seek His will, He will move things for, because He is the God of taking impossible things and making them possible. And so God did that for us, and we began to move into it. And you know what happened? You know the rest of the story. I came to this town. I had opportunities. I had a Sunday school class that I taught, and I learned how to teach better, and I was given opportunities from time to time to go to different organizations and churches to preach. And I think by the time I had come to this town, that I had been offered two or three churches by the time I came here. I think this was the fourth church that had offered me to be a pastor in it. And so I came to this city and down the street here at the church, and that day we taught. We had three sessions of teachings. We had that morning, that afternoon, and that night. People were very responsive to me, and so of course they came that night. They liked me, and I liked them. Okay, and they came to me, and they said that would you consider being our pastor? And I said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's check this thing out. You check me out, I'll check you out. I'll drive back and forth. I'll keep my day job until we find out how this is going to work through, you know. And so I did. I came back up, and they liked me, and I liked them. And here we are 19 years later. And that's the story. That's how all that happens. You see, but my point in all of that is that I was ready for when the door opened. I had prepared myself and got myself ready. Now, did all that happen overnight? No. You know about how long it took me to do it? About 3 years. We had built the house, lived in the house 2 years, and I had been taking the courses about a year prior to that. So it was about 3 years since I really began seeking God. What I'm trying to tell you is your dream's not that far away. What you want to do in your life and what you really feel joy from and happiness from is not that far out there. But you've got to start preparing, because God will open a door for you. It's not if He will, it's when He will and how He will. But I promise you, God will open the door for you. William J. Eagle said this: men don't plan to fail. What do? They fail to plan. Do you have a plan? What is your plan to fulfill your dream? You have a dream, but do you have a plan that will fulfill that? You see, because God will open a door for you. He's the God of opening doors. And if you're ready to step through it, then you can move through it and begin to step into your dream. Jesus said that same thing this way in Luke chapter 4, verse 28. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? In other words, what Jesus is saying there is plan and prepare and be ready, so that when you're able to step out and build your life and build your tower, that you're well able and well planned to do it, and that you can step forth and that you won't become a laughingstock. You see, a lot of people fail simply because they're not planned well enough. And if you'll plan your life and plan how you're going to step into your dream, it'll work out so much better. It'll work out so much better. Now, I know that many of us have enjoyed our series that we've had on the dream. It's stirred us all up to look at our lives. Are we living our dream? You know, we're looking back, and where did we miss it? Where did we get detoured? Are we really living our dream? And some of us have made some adjustments, but that's not the case for all of us. We're just not all just looking to see if where we are in our dream. But some of you have really come to the place, and you're so stirred that you're really wanting to reach out there. You know, you're really wanting to grab life. You're really wanting to get out of the boat and walk on water. You know, but what I'm trying to tell you today is you've got to be ready, because one day Jesus is going to come walking on the water, and He's going to bid you come. And what you've got to do is have the faith and be ready to step out of the boat and go after Him. What you've got to do is prepare your life and prepare and get ready, because I promise you, God wants you to do it. I want to tell you that good thing that God's put into your heart to do, He is able to complete it. I want you to have confidence of this one thing. Philippians 1:6 says that. Being confident of this very thing. Being what? Confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. If God put that dream in you, guess what? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here is God's going to work on your dream until Jesus comes again. As long as you're faithful, and as long as you're prepared, and as long as you're seeking after it, and as long as you're reaching for it, then God is going to continue to perform it. He's going to continue opening door after door after door for you. But you've got to be prepared to walk through the door. You've got to be ready. You've got to take things and make sure that they're ready to walk through that door. Now, what I want to do for the time that we have remaining is I want to talk to you about developing a plan. Some things that maybe you need to do. Some things at least to think about doing. Some things that maybe you can jot down just to see where you're at with some things. Now, do you think that I knew that when I began my dream When I began really taking the courses and getting the plan to build a house and those kinds of things, do you think that I knew that I was coming to Lafayette, Georgia to live my dream?
No.
Not at all. I don't think I'd have picked this one out, but this was what the Lord did. You see, and so when I came here, and I really don't know why it all worked out exactly the way it did, but my heart connected, and their hearts connected with me. And so God does those things. And my point is that we've got to have a dream, but we've got to be flexible enough to know when God is touching us, and when God's directing us, and when God's moving us around. You remember the story about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul always had a big dream. He was always a big dreamer. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't go to school to become an apostle. At those times, they didn't have apostle schools, right? His dream was to be a Pharisee. He was raised in the home of a Pharisee. His desire was to be a Pharisee, and he was trained to go up the Pharisaical ladder. That's what Paul wanted to do. That was his dream. And you know his story. He was on the road to Damascus one day. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the church, and God met him there. Now, God comes to us and all of us in different ways and forms. And with Paul, he had to knock him down to get his attention. But there was no doubt in Paul's mind that he had had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he told Paul, he says, Paul, I want you to go into Damascus, into a street called Straight, and I want you to wait for me there in a house. And he says, I'm going to send a man named Ananias to you. And Ananias is going to come, and he's going to tell you what I want you to do. Well, Ananias came, and he said, Paul, you have been selected. At that time, his name was Saul. He says, Saul, you have been selected by the Lord God. You're going to be a great vessel. You're going to go all over the world. You're going to preach the gospel. You've been chosen. Now, what was interesting about Paul, Saul at that time, is he didn't wait for miracle dust to be sprinkled on him. And he didn't wait for a magic wand. What he began to do was exactly what Nehemiah did, and exactly what I did, and exactly what you're going to do when you experience your dream. He began to pray. He went to Arabia, the Bible says. And there he fasted, and there he prayed, and there he sought God. And as he began to doing that, God began speaking to him. He came back to Damascus. He did a little part-time ministry there for a little while. And then he left there, and he went and he saw James, and he saw Peter, and spent some time there getting the message. And he kept ministering where he could and when he could. He eventually ended up back in Tarsus, making tents. That's what he did. Now think about this. The individual that wrote the majority of the New Testament, that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament that we direct our churches and our lives by, had to wait until God opened a door for him. He went back to Tarsus, and there he waited. And then one day, sure enough, just as I'm telling you, the door opened. Barnabas comes up there and says, hey, Brother Paul, I want you to come. Well, Brother Saul, that time, I want you to come to Antioch with us. And here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What's amazing to me is this, all of a sudden, the door swings open. Just all of a sudden, Paul has done his homework. He's prepared. He's talked to people. He's been to all the seminars he could go to. He's done all the things he could do. He's prepared in the Word of God. And now he's waiting on the Lord. And sure enough, God opens the door. He sends Barnabas, and Barnabas takes him back to Antioch. And there they begin his dream. Later on, the Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. He says, because a great door of effective work has opened to me. See, God will open a door for you to do the effective work that you were created to do. God will do it. If you're prepared, you can walk through it. But if you're not prepared, it does him no good. He'll open up 100 doors. But if you're not prepared, then the door does you no good just because he's opened it. And so what I'm really wanting to encourage you today is have a flexible plan. Have a plan just because you're perhaps trained. See, I was not trained to do what I'm doing right now initially. I was trained in business. I was trained in accounting. I was trained in management. Now, I'm using those skills. I'm using those things that I learned. But at the same time, I needed specific training. And I was flexible enough to know that was not my heart. I wasn't happy doing those things. I am extremely happy doing this. And so I prepared myself. And when the door opened to me, I stepped through it. Now, I want to give you seven things real fast that I think will help you to prepare a plan. To prepare a plan so that you'll be able to move through the door and be prepared so that when the door does open to you of effectiveness for your own life, that you'll have these ideas. First of all, pray. Pray. Nehemiah prayed. Paul prayed. Anybody that you know that has really experienced the goodness of God in their life and is going on with God in their life, they're going to pray. And they're going to go before the Lord. And the Lord is going to begin to deal with their hearts and touch their hearts. I think it's so necessary that we keep our prayers before the Lord, that we get confident. The more we magnify God, the smaller our mountains become. Am I right on that? You say, if we magnify the mountain, which one gets big? The mountain. If we magnify God, which one gets big? See, and so whichever you're magnifying, and if you're lifting it to God all the time, then all of a sudden, God's get big, and all of a sudden, the mountains and the obstacles that you face as you're pursuing your dream become smaller and smaller. So you got to pray. The first thing you got to do is pray. Then number two, begin a journal. Begin a journal. Now, what I did in my life, and as I began really getting serious with the Lord, I began writing my prayers. Now, I would write my dream in my prayers. You know, as I was praying to the Lord, I would write the things that I wanted to accomplish. And then I would also write down what the Lord, I felt like, was speaking back to me. And these, I still have that, and you've seen the journal. But I look at that thing from time to time now, and it's so encouraging to me. I can look back right now and see what God did in my life back then. And I can watch it and see how he just moved. And I get so encouraged, and it builds my faith up so much. But I encourage you to start you a journal. Write down some things. Write down some things that you need to do to fulfill your dream. Whatever that you believe God's put into your heart to do, write it down so that you'll see how God moves on that thing. And plus, it gives you more understanding and hook scriptures up with it. Number three, attend trade shows or conferences. Now, I went to conventions, I went to seminars, I'd fly to Kansas, I'd fly to Texas, I would fly everywhere that I felt like I could go and learn something. And I encourage you to do that. Find a trade show or something that's going on that you're doing and go to that thing so that you can be up on the latest techniques and the more information that you can get and obtain, that the better you're going to be about what you're doing. And the vision will come to pass much quicker because you'll be sharp about it. You'll be ready when that door opens. Number four, read books and listen to audio tapes. To this very day, I still go to bed every night with a CD plugged in my ear, but that wouldn't look really well, would it? But what it was is a little speaker off of a CD player in my ear. And I'm always listening to audio tapes or CDs, and I'm always trying to stay fresh. I'm always trying to stay up because I don't feel like God's finished opening doors for me. I feel like there's still more doors that I want to get to walk through, and I want to be ready. I want to be prepared as God does give me the opportunity. For example, last month, a church down in Rome called me and asked me, said, Pastor, I'd gone down there last year and ministered for them, and they wanted me to come back and do several weeks like a revival or something like that for them, and asked me if I had anything that I thought I could share with them. I said, yeah, I got one or two things that I think might be good. So anyway, I'm going down there right now doing the temperament study every Wednesday night in the month of March. So it's just cool because I feel like God still opens doors for me because I'm prepared and I'm ready. So I want you to do that. I want to tell you to do that. You know, I encourage you, be prepared. You know, get your audio tapes and your CDs and keep yourself fired up on whatever it is that you feel like your dream is driving you towards and leading you towards. Number five, talk to people. Talk to people. I remember that I would when preachers would come to the church that at that time that I attended, and I was a deacon in the church at that time. But as the preachers would come, I would involve myself. I would take the pastor and his wife and the ministering minister and his family. I would take them out for supper or for lunch or something. I would get with them and I would spend time with them. There was one time that I had an entire family come over to our house, and I think they spent the night that night. But we fed them and talked to them. But I was always hooking up with preachers, and I still do that today. I find somebody who's further beyond where I'm at, and I love talking to them. I love getting information from them. I love getting their anointing. I love learning what they know. I love spending time with them. Find somebody that knows a little bit more about what you want to know than you do, and pursue them. Pursue them. Make friends with them. Get information from them. Learn from people. Talk to people about what you want to accomplish in life. Number six, go on spiritual retreats. Now, even if your dream has got nothing to do with being spiritual, you know, still go on spiritual retreat so that you can get alone with the Lord. You know, like the walk of Emmaus, those kinds of things. That's all emphasized on your getting alone with the Lord. What I would do is, my pastor and I, we became great friends, and what we would do is we would go off and fast and pray and just seek our the Lord, and then we would come together, we would share what we felt, we would share our dreams with one another, and then we were able to work through these things and help each other and encourage each other. But the main thing is just getting alone with the Lord in a spiritual way so that you can hear God. It's difficult when you got the kids running and and you got to go here and you got to be there and you got to run there or do this. But when you get alone like that and you can shut out everything and you can just concentrate on hearing the Lord, it's a great time. And you'll be amazed how God will touch your heart and really minister into your spirit. Then number 7, pray. Pray. Wrap it all in prayer. Now, we've just gone through the series on the power of the spoken word, the power of the word of, that not just that you read, but the power of the words that you say, the power of your words. Listen, you've got to learn not to think your prayers, but say your prayers. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Learn how to say them. You are a child of the Most High King. You are kings and priests unto our God, right? Is that what the Bible says? And you have authority. And you need to be learning how to speak into the heavenlies and into situations. Jesus said, speak, not think. Speak to the mountain and tell that mountain to be plucked up and cast into the sea. You got to learn how to talk to your obstacles. And you do this through prayer and prophesying. And that first verse that we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, upon the sons and the daughters, and they'll prophesy. What is that? You got to learn how to speak to your problems and speak to situations and speak to obstacles that are holding up your dream and learn how to declare that they'll be moved. Creative power of your words. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Give your dream life through speaking to it and through praying to it and prophesying to it. There's power in your words. There's power to accomplish great things through your words. So learn how to do those things. Now, I promise you, if you'll do those 7 things, when the door opens, you're ready to walk through. You're ready. You'll be ready to fly through there. And then God's going to open another door for you and another door for you. And every door gets you closer and closer and closer to that abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Now listen, God's put a dream in your heart. Every one of you have a dream. There's a dream that God's put there. You were in your mother's womb, and in your inmost being, He put a dream in your heart. You were born with a dream in your heart. That's God's will for you. That's His abundant life that He wants you to experience. And if you'll follow that dream and chase that dream, God's going to bless your life. Listen, the miracle dust isn't going to come down from heaven, and nobody's going to wave a magic wand over your life and make it happen. What you've got to do is prepare, because there will be doors that will open. God will open an effectual door for you so that you can go through and you can experience the great life that Jesus has planned for you. Listen, Nehemiah prayed. And then God spoke to him and make a list. And then when the door opened, he was ready. Paul did the same thing. Paul went alone, got alone with the Lord, prepared his life. And then when the effectual door opened, Paul was able to step in and do all that his life. And his life was so abundant. I mean, look at Paul's life. We're still affected by his life. 2,000 years later, we're still affected by that man's life and by his pursuing his dream. Listen, God wants to do that for you. The same God. The same God of miracles, the same God that led Paul and led Nehemiah is your God too. And I promise you, if you'll pursue your dream and you'll prepare yourself, when God opens the door, you can step through it and you can experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Amen? Amen? You with that? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord loves you. We need to pull on the supernatural ability of God. We need to learn how to trust God in supernatural ways, and not just in the natural ways, but in the supernatural. He wants to do supernatural things for you. He does. He's the God that, though it may be impossible with you, it's not impossible for Him. Though it may be impossible for man, it's not impossible for God. And we're going to learn on our next series the power of believing. Believing in the supernatural ability of God to move in our lives. Now, some of you have gotten away from the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute, and I'm really going to invite you to come back to the Jesus. Some of you maybe have never known Jesus Christ very well. Maybe sometime back in your childhood you accepted Him, but you've never had a personal relationship with Him. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come down here, shake my hand, do nothing like that unless you want to. But I'm just going to invite you to pray this prayer after me. I'm inviting everybody in this whole room to pray it after me. It's just a prayer just to come back to Jesus. And I think it's good for all of us to pray it from time to time anyhow. So just invite everybody to pray this prayer and pray it after me. So let's do that. Lord Jesus, Please come into my heart. Save my soul. I'll give you my life. I repent from my sins. I want to serve you forever. I ask you to lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you did that, the Bible says you were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. At this point in your life now, you'll be able to start seeing the kingdom of God. You need to be water baptized. At the end of this month, we're going to have a baptismal service. You need to be water baptized, be born of water and spirit. And you need to have that experience in your life. And then you're able to enter, the Bible says, the kingdom of God and experience the abundant life that Jesus has come to give you. Amen? Now, what we want to do now is pray for people. We always want to take opportunities and times to pray for you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know things are. Some of you are sick in your bodies, and the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we want to pray for you for your sickness. Some of you are going through difficult times with your marriages or family. We want to pray about that. Never stop praying. Just because you've come down here once or twice or five times, doesn't matter. You keep coming. You be like that person that never stops seeking and never stops asking and never stops knocking. You keep going until you get what you're asking God for. You be persistent with that. Some of you are having problems with your parents, and some of you are having problems with your kids. We want you to come, and we want to pray for you too. Maybe you need some financial breakthroughs. Maybe somebody to agree with you for a job or something going on in your life. Anyway, we want to take a moment now and pray for you. Whatever your prayer request might be, I'll pray for you. The elders will be praying for you. Just invite you to come right now. Father, we commit this time to you. I ask you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, to bless this time. Lord, touch your people. Lord, let us be ministers unto you. Let us touch their lives, Lord, and heal their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be coming.